Welcome to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This podcast connects people affected by a blood cancer to resources that inform, support, educate, and empower. When it comes to cancer, it's hard to navigate the unknown, and there are no easy answers. We're here to bring you the information you need to help make sense of every step of the blood cancer experience. My name is Montana Skirka, and I will be your host for today's episode. I am a yoga and meditation teacher and Reiki practitioner, guiding individuals facing health challenges to discover their inner wisdom and healing potential. As a childhood cancer survivor, I am dedicated to helping others navigate their journey to well-being through one-on-one and group programs. Today on the show, I am talking to Maura Cosgrave. Based in Vancouver, BC, Maura is a full-time caregiver to her three young children. She loves the freedom that comes with being a stay-at-home mom and the flexibility she and her children have to craft each day into their own. Maura is also a CPA and was previously a partner with a large Canadian-based accounting firm. Maura is a Swiftie and enjoys girls' weekends and family pizza-making nights. Her oldest child was diagnosed with pediatric cancer when she was 13 months old and treated successfully in Vancouver. Maura is committed to being part of the solution to some of the systemic challenges Canadian children face in accessing new and novel treatments for pediatric cancer. Thank you so much, Maura, for taking the time to talk to us today. It's lovely to have you here.
Thanks very much, Montana, for the opportunity to be here.
So we just heard a little bit about your story just from the introduction. I would love to hear what your life was like before this recent health challenge faced your family. Where were you? What was life like? Just painting a little bit of a picture for us.
For sure. My daughter was diagnosed with cancer when she was 13 months old. So I had just gotten off of my maternity leave when she was diagnosed with cancer, which was an interesting time in life because I was just diving back into a fairly intense career and kind of navigating all the things that new moms navigate normally in terms of balancing career and family and first child and, you know, all the worries that people have when it's their first baby. And my life was just consumed with work and then also thinking about children's nutrition and sleep patterns and do they weigh enough and all those kind of things that new moms experience. And then all of a sudden, I took her with my husband to the hospital one night. She really, really wasn't feeling well, and it had been dragging on for days and days. She was sick, and we thought it was just the flu or a cold. And then she stopped walking, and that was enough of a trigger for us to take her to the emergency room. And fairly quickly, they did a blood test on her and realized just that it wasn't a cold. It was a pediatric cancer, and the type of cancer that she had was acute myeloid leukemia. So it was obviously a shock. And I just feel like my husband and I were in this world of being new parents. And we're just starting to kind of get our footing and our groove with that too. It was an interesting point in life for this to happen.
Yes, that sounds incredibly shocking and something that you would never expect. Do you remember, can you give us a little bit of a picture of what it was like in that moment when you received the diagnosis? What you were feeling, what your partner was feeling, and how you kind of navigated those first few days?
Absolutely. It kind of was one of these things that as we were in the emergency room, and, you know, every person, parent has been in the emergency room, I think, at some point in time with their kids. But this experience was a little bit different. One professional would come in, ask us a bunch of questions. And then another professional would come in and ask us a bunch of questions. And then another one would come in and ask us a bunch of questions. And for us, I kind of felt like our case was being moved up some kind of seniority food chain, flagged as being like not just a kid's cold and increasingly abnormal. And at the time, I didn't really realize it. And now I do, with certain types of pediatric leukemias. They can do a blood test like quite quickly and realize that things are seriously wrong from one blood test. We're talking like within like 2 or 3 hours we were there. Two of the doctors came in and sat us down and said, "We're sorry to have to tell you this, but your daughter has leukemia." I was like, "There's no way that this can happen. you know, please tell me that there's like an alternative to this. And they kind of were like, well, we don't know exactly what kind of leukemia it is, but it is. And it's enough that you guys are moving upstairs to the oncology ward tonight and you'll start treatment within the next day or two. So it's obviously like such a shock, but you don't really get a chance to even process that. It's just right into it, which has its benefits and its challenges too. So we didn't really have time to even contemplate anything other than the fact that like we were with our daughter in hospital and her treatment was starting right away.
Wow. It's so true. You think something like a cancer diagnosis, you know, should take more time, or, I mean, I just can't even imagine the shock of that, of thinking it's a flu and then a few hours later being like in the oncology department with your child. And I can understand and recognize that feeling of like denial and just, you know, shock, essentially.
Absolutely. The flip side is I've now had some friends and older family members who've taken a long time to get diagnosed and then a long time to like figure out what their treatment plan is. Whereas this, we at least knew that like things were moving forward, that action was being taken that night. And as stressful and challenging as it was, that's something that I'm kind of always grateful for, that we at least had this reassurance that like, okay, I know that we're in a good hospital and I know that while this is unbelievable and devastating, we're moving in the right direction now.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing you're pointing to is like there is no easy way to go through this experience. We all go through it a little bit differently, but ultimately it's really difficult and really challenging. And I think the other piece of finding some gratitude is really important when we talk about mental health and when we talk about this. You know, it can often feel very difficult to find things to be grateful for. So the fact that you are kind of able to say, okay, well, I feel happy that I'm in a hospital that feels like it's taking this seriously and that I feel safe and supported is really, really huge and something that we can really celebrate a little bit, you know, here in Canada. I know for myself as well, the fact that I had sick kids down the street and seeing other patients that had to be, you know, flown in and their parents couldn't stay at their house. And it's just, it is, we're always so grateful for the hospitals that are in this country that support us in this way. So you are in this shock. You guys are being moved up to the oncology floor. What was going through your mind? What was the experience, if you can recall, those first couple of days of yourself and your partner, who I'm assuming had, I mean, of course, had their own experience in this time?
Yeah, it was still the most surreal experience. And even though obviously it happened to us and I know it did and I was there, there's still this like sense of like, I can't believe that this is happening. Like, this is literally a nightmare that I'm just not waking up from too. And definitely myself and my partner were in complete fight or flight. And there is a lot of just really scary forms and scary discussions and stuff to sign and multiple doctors coming in and introducing themselves to you and saying, okay, I'm going to be working with you for the next like months on this journey of yours. And at the same time, like, the most beautiful and compassionate humans too, who are having these discussions with you, but it's still completely overwhelming. You know, how are we gonna have dinner here? All those kinds of things are also still in your head as you're going through this.
Of course. I mean, you had a full life before this experience. And as you were saying, you know, as a new mom who had was just going back to work, I mean, I think, of course, you're gonna say, okay, wait, I have a full life. Like, how do we manage this on top of everything else that being a parent, a new mom, returning to a workforce entails? So it makes total sense that that would kind of feel like a huge, you know, impediment, and figuring out how to navigate that can also feel like extra work and labor on top of everything else. So that makes a lot of sense. When did you notice that your own mental health was starting to suffer?
I think there was various like stages and changes to mental health. Obviously, where you're in the initial diagnosis phase and initial part of your journey, the big things are like so much uncertainty. So there's so much anxiety for me about what's the unknown and if the first stage of treatment was going to work. And that obviously was really, really hard on my mental health. And obviously, and I think really anybody who would be in that circumstances would have a lot of difficulty with their anxiety. I mean, I was really lucky enough to, our family doctor was also a doctor who worked in the hospital. So she was able to kind of check in every once in a while. So at least there was a kind of like a touch point with her, although not formal, you know, not flagged as an appointment, but she would kind of pick her head in and say, how's it going? And never expecting things to be going well at that certain point in time. I knew I had her as an ally and a resource. And while at that immediate moment, there's really nothing I feel like that could have made the situation any better, at least it started the dialogue with her about how this journey was going to progress with me. And it kind of moved then from the initial, oh my gosh, we're in the hospital, there's all this uncertainty, to, okay, we kind of got through the first month and we've established our routine at the hospital and treatment is progressing as it should. My husband at that point in time decided to go back to his job. And that kind of marked a change from the acute like anxiety and uncertainty to kind of just this like chronic anxiety and struggles with mental health, because at that point in time, he was back at work. There was kind of like a separation between us with our experience, which hadn't happened at that point in time yet. And you kind of have to move out of this immediate fight or flight mode all the time, 24/7, but you're not better 100%. And you're kind of now in this like chronic stress because you're living in the hospital and you're seeing families go through stuff that is just unthinkable, and you kind of know when things are really bad for other families, while at the same time trying to navigate the health journey with your own child too, and also kind of keep your family afloat and keep your mortgage paid at home too, which meant one of you, which in this case was my husband, was going to work and he could only come in the evenings from, you know, maybe like 6 to 8 or something like that. And on the weekends too, which was the reality of our situation, but definitely like started a divide kind of in us and how we were like managing the stress related to our child's journey.
Were there any other things that you turned to or any other resources that helped you through that time?
For me, that time like went a long way past us being in the hospital. So we were in hospital for a total of 5 months, and thank goodness everything worked as it should with my daughter's treatment. But I imagine after treatment then started this secondary chronic phase of anxiety, which was, oh my gosh, is the cancer going to come back? And so having to navigate the anxiety with that too. And I wouldn't say I did it particularly well at the beginning of that phase. And now looking back, I kind of had the choice at that point in time. I was getting older and time was going by, and my husband and I knew we wanted to have a bigger family too, and kind of had to park some of the stuff, I feel like, in order to move forward effectively with that. And I was never really good at compartmentalizing it. And so it really blurred into my life in that way too. But also I just felt the need that I needed to I knew that we wanted to have more children and move on with life in other capacities. So I kind of had to make the choice to put my effort into that and almost like leave this anxiety and stress and kind of like differences that my husband and I had been experiencing dealing with our daughter's cancer journey on the sideline for a little bit and focus on some of those other things in our life, which allowed us to do that, but also made it really difficult and prolonged some mental health struggles that I had for sure. And in terms of how I kind of like overcame that, it took a long time, like a really, really long time, and probably lengthened by the fact that I did prioritize some other things above that. But for me, I kind of needed this phase of worrying that my daughter's cancer was going to come back to move. I needed it to settle. Like, I really needed to know as time went by that the likelihood of that happening was not, it was unlikely. So for me, time is a big factor in it. And that's really hard when you're like in it, but it did help me. I think for me personally, once we were done having kids, we could kind of pick up some of the work that we needed to do on our relationship. We went to therapy. We did some pretty intense sessions where we really learned where some of our intimacy gaps were in terms of sharing our experience with each other. And that really helped us to kind of move forward. And I realized also that that is something that I really needed, that having gone through this with my partner, I couldn't just have it be an experience that we both dealt with in our individual way. And I think that's not the case for everybody. And I think that's okay. But I also realized that it was imperative for me to do that. But that also kind of meant that my husband, who probably would have been happy enough to have it be an experience that we went through in our individual way, had to come over to my side a little bit and not be my counselor or therapist or anything like that, but really have to be my partner in that capacity. And we've learned now how to build that intimacy in a way that works for both of us. But this is now like 5 years after my daughter was out of hospital. So it really took a long time for us. And like for me, it was one thing that became like really clear was like, I could have an amazing therapist and an amazing group of friends and great supportive parents, but I really needed that partner piece of it. And that now, 5 years later, that has made our relationship stronger for sure. And I've learned now that about myself too, which is good, but it was also like really hard for like many, many years trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and that leads into what I wanted to ask next, which is just what your life is like now. You have three children and this relationship that's stronger than ever. And I just love to hear how your daughter is doing and what life is like for you guys as a family now.
Yeah. So we have three kids now. I decided a couple years into the journey that I had with our daughter, I went back to work after she was kind of about 8 months out of hospital part-time, but I knew that we wanted to expand our family even more, and kind of having all this anxiety and grief over the cancer journey and process combined with a big professional job, combined with being pregnant again, combined with having to like have another baby, and then also knowing that like we ideally wanted three kids in our family. If you just put it into a pot, I knew that one thing had to drop. And I was lucky enough that I could take a career break from my job, which also came with so much loss for me too, because I had really spent the last like 10 years defining myself as this strong professional female leader, and having to step away from it was really hard too. So that entailed a lot of therapy as well for me personally, to kind of like detach myself from the person that I used to be and kind of the person that I envisioned myself into now being a stay-at-home mom, which today kind of, it doesn't always feel as, you know, rah-rah as being like a progressive female leader in the business world. But I've really like over time embraced it and love my role now too. Again, with lots of therapy and lots of processing and like lots of digestion. So that has also been a big change for me on top of that too. And it's also given me some space as well. You know, a big part of our journey was the fact that when we were in hospital, there were other children in hospital who had like the same kind of cancer that my daughter had, and their stories don't look the same as ours. And it really kind of opened up my eyes to some of the challenges. While in Canada, we have an amazing system, it's not without its challenges and not without its inequities, and not always the system that breeds like innovation and numerous options. So it's kind of opened up my eyes. Not having to spend time working full time has opened up my eyes to some of these things. And now it's kind of a place where I would like to, in the coming years, dedicate some of my energy. So while some doors career-wise I closed, I'm starting to like open other ones, which kind of feels good.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think you touched on a bunch of other really important topics. I think, you know, when we talk about time healing, it's really time paired with that processing of the grief. And the fact that you were able to recognize your own experience and find resources to support you through this experience within the context of stronger relationships, feeling supported, I think that's such an important reminder for everyone out there to find ways to process your grief in your own way, in your own time. And I think the identity piece is also huge. Once we are able to process, then we can grieve who we were and invite in unique, new, exciting opportunities for the future that may even be more aligned and more meaningful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Maura, for taking the time to talk to us today. If listeners have any questions about this podcast or need any support or resources to navigate your experience, I encourage you to connect with the community services lead in your region. For more information, visit bloodcancers.ca. If you liked our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts. We also welcome any ideas for our program, so we would love to hear from you. Send us an email with your suggestions or comments at info@bloodcancers.ca. Until next time, stay well and stay connected.